喵喵喵喵喵喵
喵喵喵
喵喵喵喵喵喵
喵喵喵喵喵喵
喵喵喵喵喵喵喵喵喵
喵喵喵喵喵喵喵。I'm in heat. My cat's in heat. What's happening to your cat?
He's coughing up a hairball.
Both totally two natural cat activities.
Absolutely. Hey, everybody. That was the opening for our new podcast, Magic the Catening, which is a Magic the Gathering podcast for cats,
only.
Who are learning to play.
Mm-hmm.
Not even pro cats.
No.
Not all cats.
Just learn. There have not been any pro cats yet.
No, there haven't.
I do have one cat hand, so I'm part cat.
You're part cat, which is why we can do Magic the Catening.
Correct. And that's how I know their language.
Otherwise, it wouldn't
really be appropriate. No. No, so yeah, if you have a cat, make sure your cat checks us out.
Yeah, listen to that first segment. We'll be bringing, a new segment to you every week now, specifically for cats.
We're sponsored by Kibbles and Bits. Which is a dog food.
I've just realized as I said it.
We're sponsored by Kibbles and Bits. Dog food for cats.
Dog food for cats. That would sell. That would sell.
What? Dog food for cats?
Yeah.
How would that sell any differently from like cat food?
Because people are like, I own a dog. This is a trusted food I put in my dog. Why not put it in my cat?
This is a food I put in my dog.
Hey, welcome to Magic the Amateuring, everybody. If you're a cat, go listen to our other podcast. If you're a human, listen to this one. If you're a human, I'm a Ferengi, and that's what I just called you. Today's episode, we're going to talk about Battle for Zendikar. Some more spoilers have come out. We're very close to the set being fully spoiled, which will happen at the end of this week.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit about the Community Cup, which we are packing our bags for.
Have you already started packing?
No, because I don't have my suitcase with me.
I was like, whoa, you're prepared, because I have not put anything in a suitcase yet.
I was like, man, I need to wash these jeans. I really only own the one decent pair.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need to put them in the laundry.
Yeah, so Community Cup, you guys, we're excited. Ooh. That's coming up. We're also going to do a continuation of questions. Last episode, we had a mailbag, and listeners tweeted at us and Facebooked us a bunch of questions they want us to answer, and we only got through about half of them, and the questions were so good! We had to devote another episode to it.
Yep, we're going to finish up with some of those. And then we're going to also bring you a little bit of Magic Origins Flavor Text Theater.
Flavor Text Theater.
So get hyped!
Get hyped! Get on your motorcycle and hype!
That's what it's called. When you, like, the rrr. It's no longer called revving your engine. It's called hyping your engine. You heard it here first, everybody. No longer revving your engine. It is now hyping your engine.
Oh, God.
I love it.
I mean, the words are sort of interchangeable already. Like, I'm getting revved for that concert. I'm getting hyped for that concert.
When you say you're getting revved for a concert, that just makes me, like, feel kind of weird.
Megan, I'm getting really revved for that Goo Goo Dolls concert.
There are so many things wrong with that sentence.
Well, is it interchangeable? Like, say I'm, like, the honorable hype priest, you know, like, as a priest.
The honorable hype Maria Bartholdi.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Of the Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm the hype.
Yeah.
Community Cup, you guys. It's countdown is on because it's this weekend.
That's right. By the time that you hear this, the countdown will be one day counted further down.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited.
I am absolutely thrilled to be heading out on this trip.
So if you guys don't know what the Community Cup is, what happens is every year, Wizards has selected about 8 members of the community, people who are content creators, people who are broadcasters, that's sort of the same thing.
Streamers. I feel like content creators covers like a really large base.
Yeah, writers.
It covers streamers, YouTubers, podcasters, the writers, the whole gamut.
Gamut. We've had this talk.
The whole gamut.
So we're 2 of the 8 this year. Much like 7 was of 9, we are 2 of 8.
We are 2 of 8.
And we're heading
you
out.
You will be assimilated.
Yep. to Seattle this weekend to play versus Wizards in a match, a death match, if you will. No one will die, but pride will be lost by one of the two teams.
Absolutely. And we're playing for some sweet prizes.
That's right.
If Wizards of the Coast wins, psh, fat chance.
Barf.
Then everyone on Moto will get a non-premium Drown in Sorrow.
I like that we have to specify this is a non-premium
like,
Drown
in Sorrow.
It's not foil.
It's just like no
it's
alternate
just a
art.
Card.
It's just like you get a Drown in a copy of this uncommon. Standard playable uncommon from Theros, but it's rotating out, so.
So good luck.
So good luck. But if the community team wins, get hyped.
Get hyped. You're going to get one of each. Plains, island, swamp, mountain, forest, full art, unhinged basic lands by John Avon.
Oh, snap. Plus Athalia, Guardian of Thraben.
Ooh, that's pretty
with
cool.
Alternate art.
Yeah, that's a great alternate art, by
it's
the way.
It's beautiful. It's very beautiful.
And everybody knows these unhinged lands are just enough to make me want them every moment of my life. So,
yeah.
I can, you know, now I'll have one of each. I won't have to wait for the cube every year to be able to play with them.
Absolutely.
I'll have one forest in every deck that contains
every
forests.
Deck that you play.
Because that forest is just to die for.
They're pretty great. Whew. They're pretty great.
So, you guys, we're going to do our best to win for you because I want those lands.
And we want those lands
for you. That's right. So, we learned today what our formats were going to be in this tournament, which you can watch, by the way, on twitch.tv on the 19th and 20th. Tune in and watch us just pummel Wizards. Just, it's going to be embarrassing.
Get reverended.
Get reverended. Yeah, so we're going to start off with a stipulation draft for the Legacy Cube.
That means that each player is going to have certain rules that they must follow during their draft.
Oh boy.
It could be something like drafting a deck with no creatures. It could be something like drafting a deck, like each pack you have to pick the least scary looking art in the pack.
Perfect.
So a whole range of stipulations, only things with even converted mana costs, only things with
oh my god. My deck is going to be a living disaster.
So on top of the fact that Maria and I have each drafted Legacy Cube about once in our lives, that doesn't really matter because it's a stipulation draft anyways.
Okay.
So I feel like, do you know what? If it's going to be a stipulation draft, at least it's also the format at which we're going to be the most like
that's
WTF
true.
Pros.
That's true. That's true. Thankfully, we're going to get back into our wheelhouse with some Battle for Zendikar draft and sealed.
Absolutely. We're going to be playing Battle for Zendikar sealed in real paper, bros.
Yeah, we're going to touch these cards before anybody else touches these cards.
We're going to lick them with our tongues before anyone mm-hmm. else licks them.
I am going to marry one of my cards. Which one? Tune in to find out.
Absolutely. You're going to have to listen to our episode next week to know who Maria is going to be filing her joint taxes with next year.
Yes. Fingers crossed for that little 1/1 that makes dragons once you have 6 lands out.
I mean, that's pretty solid.
I mean, yeah.
Getting a dragon every year.
I feel like you can make a good life together.
Yeah.
Every anniversary is the dragon anniversary. What year is the dragon anniversary?
Which anniversary is the dragon anniversary? They all are. They all are.
Yeah, so we're playing Sealed, which will be really fun. And I think this format's going to be pretty sweet for Sealed. Judging by the fact that there's so many giant Eldrazi running around.
Oh, snap. Just, you know what? Stick all those powerful cards in there.
I mean, that's what I plan to do.
Every single GD one of them.
I'm so excited. After that, we're going to do some Ironroot Chef, which is Wizards. It's going to give us some ingredients, and we need to build a deck around those ingredients.
Absolutely.
I see ingredients like food. I don't mean food. I mean cards, you guys. Come on, this is a magic show.
Yes. But I'm also the players will be eating these decks afterwards, and that will go into the score. It's how well you eat your deck.
Does like a forest taste different than a swamp?
I mean, I don't know. We're gonna find out the answers to these kinds of questions.
All right, great.
Yeah. So then that one you play with the deck, but you also get graded on how flavorful
mm-hmm.
and how inventive your deck design was. Oof. So that's pretty cool.
I know. I'm excited. I don't have a lot of knowledge of Magic cards over the years since we've only been playing for 3 years, but I do love
that
flavor.
It's just standard. I think in the past it's been standard.
Okay.
You know all of the cards in standard.
Yes.
So we'll be good.
Okay.
If that's what's what.
Whew. Then we're going to be rounding out the tournament playing Battle for Zendikar Draft on Magic Online. So, yes.
Shiznits.
Yes. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Don't misclick, Maria. Don't misclick.
Oh, man. F2, F6. No, no, no.
F3. Yes.
Very exciting.
Yeah, the Wizards team is formidable, and they do have knowledge of the format for probably years before we do, but their brains have probably moved on to other things, you know?
Absolutely. They're already thinking about Battle for Mendikar, which
Mendikar, which is like all the Eldrazi's are just men.
Dudes. Yeah.
Just dudes.
They're all just like the worst bros. They're all just the worst frat bros.
So they're just like man spreading on the couch.
Yeah.
Well, with a bag of Doritos. It's
Ulamog the Ceaseless Kegger.
Oh my gosh, a Ceaseless Kegger.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I've never been to anything in my life that I could ever describe as a, quote, raging kegger, unquote. And I feel sad about that.
Oh, I've been to like, some legitimately insane parties in my life.
What would you call them, raging keggers?
But I don't know, like, I don't think any of them had, like, a keg, so I guess not.
No, you can't.
I can't call them keggers.
It's the dumbest word.
It is a really dumb word.
Yeah, so one of the Wizards team is Worth Wolpert. Yep. So Megan and I are going to take him down.
Just for you all. Just for you all.
Because we love you. And for Kenji, really. And for Kenji. Because there's so many times Worth does not give Kenji the lands he needs.
Absolutely. Out of spite. This is the community team. The community team is really going in there.
Yep.
Battle for Kenji.
Yes. So it's going to be really exciting, you guys. I hope you watch and talk in the chat and give us some encouragement.
Absolutely.
In there, because we're going to need it.
It's, give us all the good luck high fives you can.
We're going in behind enemy lines.
Absolutely. We are behind the trenches.
Yeah. Did we say that on the last show, or did we just talk about this?
I don't remember.
We just talked about it.
Did we talk about it?
Yes.
Not on the last show?
Not on the show. This is what happened.
What were we talking
about? We were talking about going and playing in the Community Cup, and I was like, we're gonna be in the trenches or whatever. And Megan's like, no, we are gonna be behind the trenches. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's not a good strategic position. And then like you said,
okay, because trenches is where the fighting happens.
Yeah.
And we're like not in the enemy's trenches. We're behind those trenches.
No.
Because we're where they're camped out.
We're in the trench.
No, we're not in the trench.
People lived in those trenches. Do you know what happened in those trenches?
Fighting them.
No, they stand up and shoot out of them.
Yes, exactly. That's my point. But they didn't live in the trenches.
I say they lived in the trenches.
Their camps were behind the trenches because they had to dig the trench. You can't dig a trench big enough for an entire camp.
Megan, I feel like you're on the wrong side of history at this one.
That is not what being on the wrong side of history means.
I know, but I wanted to say it. I think that they lived in the trenches because why would you go out of the trenches at night? Isn't that just when the other side would be like, okay, time to kill them all? They're crawling back outside of the trench.
It was kind of one of those things where it's just like, at the time, the way warfare was constructed, it was like, we're not going to fire on each other right now.
Gentleman's agreement.
Exactly. Just like when they had like the Germans and the Allied forces had like a little Christmas party.
Right. I suppose so. Well, if you know a lot about German and American trench warfare in World War I, please tweet at us World War II. It wasn't World War I?
I mean, there was trench fighting in both.
Which war had more trenches, World War I or World War II? Tweet at us.
I think one had more trenches. Because two, we were moving on to towards what we now know as modern warfare.
Right, right.
This is war the amateuring.
Please use the hashtag what the trench.
What the trench?
At MTAcast hashtag what the trench. I need to know.
With answers to any of our World War I and World War II questions.
Yes.
What the trench. All right. Point is, we're going to be there behind enemy trenches. Oh, it's because I was thinking of behind enemy lines.
Yes, that's why you said it. Yeah.
But I still think that I'm correct.
Sure, Megan.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
So because we're going to be playing a lot of Battle for Zendikar, we're going to have to bone up on this set.
Yeah, we are.
I just made uncomfortable eye contact with Megan when I said that.
I was avoiding it. I was definitely avoiding it.
We're going to have to bone up on Battle for Zendikar. The bad news for us is it's only going to be spoiled like a day.
Friday morning.
A day.
It's going to be Friday morning.
Oh, boy. We are like, not going to have time.
By the way, here's all those commons and uncommons. And it's like, oh.
Okay. I mean, commons and uncommons, if you don't know, which you should know, but we'll tell you now if you don't know, are what really make or break the set.
Absolutely. The set can have as many cool rares and mythics as wizards can stuff in there, but there's only one of those per pack. So few of them compared to the commons and uncommons, which are really the bread and butter, the bagel and cream cheese, the Pop-Tart and Pop-Tart filling of any given set.
Yeah, I agree. Question though, quick tangent. I know we just went on one, but why is a bagel better than just a piece of bread?
A bagel?
Mm-hmm.
Is it better than just a piece of bread?
Yeah.
It is both baked and then boiled.
Oh, those things are boiled?
Yes, that's why they're kind of like, they have that, like, that shiny outside, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And they also, they're not quite like bread. They more have, like, the density of, like, a roll, kind of. Like, a kind of denser roll.
They're even denser than a roll.
Yeah, I would agree.
Huh, okay.
So I think we're going with density and boiling.
Got it. That's how I like to take my baths as well. Make it dense and boiling.
How do you make a dense bath?
I'll show you later.
No, thank you. I'm gonna opt out. Opt out.
I like how you said that while you were making a motion of clicking on an email. Opt out. So yeah, commons and uncommons are what make a set, and we haven't seen a lot of them yet as of this recording. But they're gonna be especially important, I think, because we haven't seen a lot of allies, right? That are really powerful, like mythic.
We've seen powerful allies. We've seen rare and even some uncommon and some mythic allies.
What's a mythic ally that we've seen?
Let's see, friends.
Because we're seeing a lot of Eldrazi. I mean,
that is true. We have definitely seen more Eldrazi than we have allies.
So I'm like, are they all going to be at common? Like, I don't know if we've seen very many two drops.
Yeah. Well, we have a veteran war leader, which is a rare, but one green white.
Ah, yes, that's true. That's true.
That you can tap allies to give it different.
Oh, here's things. One. Resolute Blade Master, 3 red white for a 2/2, and has rally whenever it or another ally enters the battlefield under my control. Creatures get double strike. That seems pretty good.
Yeah, that one's at uncommon. Then there's the white one that gives your allies lifelink.
Yep.
There's the one that gives them indestructible. But again, these are all at rare, plus the one uncommon so far. So really the question, I think part of what's going to make allies good is, are there going to be enough of them at common to really build a deck with, to really start hitting these rally abilities?
Like, I think the real question for me is that there's all these Eldrazi. There's a lot of ramp going on in the set, obviously, with the Scions and some cards which are just specifically ramp sorceries or enchantments.
Yeah.
Are we going to be able to have a mass of allies at common at the 2-drop, 3-drop slot that are aggressive enough to be able to take somebody down before they cast Ulamog?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Or before they cast just another one of these, you know.
Any of these, really. I mean, there's like
Eldrazis.
There's, you know, 6-drops Eldrazis, which are terrifying. Like, it's a 5/8 for crying out loud. It is a mythic. Oblivion Sower, but I mean
that's an enormous creature.
I mean, that's huge, and that's only 6 mana. Normally we start to panic around 7 or 8, like cast a 7 or 8 drop and win the game, you know. Has been the case in some formats. In this case, like, are you going to be able to deal with a 5/8? Are you going to be able to deal with a 6/6, because we have Endless One, which could be panic. A 6/6 on turn 6.
Panic.
Can you deal with it?
Panic.
Or are they going to be ready dead?
Panic.
Panic at the Disco.
Woo, woo, woo.
You think Eldrazi like disco? Look at them.
Do they like disco? Like, yeah, probably.
All right. That's all I need. So looking forward to seeing some more of these spoiled. Megan, have any of the recent spoilers piqued your creative brain?
Well, let's see. We did, we saw one today on Twitter. We tweeted it, so you maybe have already seen it there. But Dragon Master Outcast, Who's apparently a reprint.
I love it.
Red for a 1/1.
I mean,
human shaman.
Seems about right.
Meh, right? Like, who's going to play that? But at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control 6 or more lands, put a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
Ooh, I love this card.
Oh, snap.
I love
it. Oh, snapsicles.
I mean, come on. They've got to kill it. They've got to kill your stupid 1/1.
They have to.
There's no way. Because
otherwise it is turning into
a dragon machine.
Dragon machine.
Whew, terrifying. We did have a new Planeswalker, was just spoiled a few days ago. Obnixilis Reignited.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a really great 5 black-black for a 5 loyalty Planeswalker.
3 black-black.
What did I say?
5 black-black.
3 black-black for a 5 loyalty Planeswalker. You draw a card and you lose 1 life, +1.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy target creature. That's its -3. The ultimate, -8. Target opponent gets an emblem with, whenever a player draws a card, you lose 2 life.
Mm.
Yeah, so this card is flexible.
Yeah.
Draw cards.
You draw cards. It comes down and can immediately kill something.
Just anything.
Yeah.
By the way.
Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
Or like start drawing cards and draining your opponent.
Exactly. Also very cool that you can, like, I'm interested to hear more about the story because Obnixilis had lost his spark.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If he was in
oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Just as a creature, as a demon. But now, obviously,
the spark is back.
His spark is back.
He's dating again. Obnixilis is on Tinder.
That's right.
Swipe right or else.
Or else.
I mean, these Planeswalkers are really fun. We tweeted a little bit about Kiora, the new Kiora.
Yes.
Whose ultimate is, quite frankly, a joke? Like,
I mean, like, you like win. You win.
When is it Planeswalker's ultimate going to be you win the game? I don't know. It's pretty close right now with Akira's ultimate, which is -8. You get an emblem with, quote, whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may have it fight target creature, unquote. Then put 3 8/8 blue octopus creature tokens onto the battlefield.
I mean,
so clear, wipe their board.
Yeah. So you get 3 8/8s. They fight. They fight whatever because you get the emblem first.
Yep.
I just love the arbitrariness of 3.
Just to put 3 octopuses out there. I don't care.
Octopi.
Like, seriously. That card's crazy powerful.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny.
So yeah, there's some cool new stuff going on here. I mean, the Endless One, which I talked about before, is just X, the casting cost. Just X. Endless Very One cool. enters the battlefield with X, +1/+1 counters on it. Eldrazi, obviously.
Pretty cool.
I want to see the first 2020 Endless One. Make it happen, somebody out there. On your pre-release.
Do it. One that caught my eye was Felidar Sovereign, 4 white-white for a cat beast.
Ooh, cat beast.
4/6 with vigilance and lifelink. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have 40 or more life, you win the game.
Whoa. All right.
Love it.
I love alternate win conditions.
Absolutely.
That's pretty fun. And, it looks like it's not just the humans fighting off these horrible Eldrazi. The merfolk are also helping out.
That's right. Well, Kiora's there, you know.
Kiora's helping out.
Hanging out in the ocean.
She has a buddy in Noyandar, Royal Shaper.
That's right. 3 white-blue for a 4/4 legendary creature merfolk ally.
Hmm.
They say whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you may put 3 +1/+1 counters on target land you control. If you do, that land becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste that's still a land. So it's basically like awaken, free awaken on all your spells.
Yep. Pretty much.
Pretty baller.
We do have a way to deal with some of these Eldrazi with this very interesting board wipe. Aligned Hedron Network for 4 colorless artifact. When Aligned Hedron Network enters the battlefield, exile all creatures with power 5 or greater until it leaves the battlefield.
Huh. Yeah.
So that gets rid of everything huge.
It sure does, man.
Not everything tiny.
No.
So this is pretty sweet to play with your allies.
All the big bads.
All the big bads go away. I don't know if there's got to be artifact destruction and coming if it's not already here. But
someone was pointing out that this is Ulamog, in the ocean, on the Art for Aligned Hedron Network.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ulamog. Mm-hmm. And the flavor text says, the last hedron slotted into place, locking Ulamog in an infinite loop of binding energy.
Oh, wow.
So it might hint at
They do get the Eldrazi all locked up.
Maybe they do, man. Maybe they do.
Something interesting, which we haven't talked about yet on this show, is some of the lands. I mean,
we've talked about the Full Art lands, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've talked about, like, the most important
lands. And we've talked about the Tango lands, which you need two in play or else
or
it comes
my
in.
My Lantus.
Tap. My Lantus. If you follow us on Twitter, I made a joke because there was a big uproar because nobody wanted to call them Tango lands and they're all mad about
hullabaloo.
It hullabaloo, and so everyone was fighting about what to call them, and I said, why don't we just call them my Lantas, because this discussion is giving me heartburn. And it was,
oh snap.
So you can call them Tango lands, call them whatever the flip you want to call them. Some people call them leg lands, which I also think is kind of a cool name.
Oh, two legs to stand.
No, leg as in oh. Leg, there's a leg. Because you need two lands out or else it's going to be sleepy.
Okay, but what about what I just said?
Leg lands?
Leg lands.
Because you need two to stand on?
Yeah.
You could also, in that vein, call them eyeball lands.
Because you need two to see.
Yeah.
But I think leg lands sounds
but
better.
Leg lands.
Yeah.
Legoless lands.
That's what it sounds like. Anyways.
Anyway, okay, in addition to the leg lands, tangle lands, what have you, we do have lands that become creatures, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely. These are also, we've seen two at rare so far. Shambling Vent.
Great name, by the way.
And yeah.
I love anything with shamble in it. Wizards make more shambly cards. Thank
Shamblers.
You.
and Lumbering Falls. And these enter the battlefield tapped. They can produce either of two colors of mana. So one's black, white, and one is green, blue. And then they are man lands.
Man lands.
Mm-hmm. So the Shambling Vent for one white, black becomes a 2/3 white and black elemental with lifelink until end of turn. And Lumbering Falls for two green, blue becomes a 3/3 green and blue elemental with hexproof until end of turn.
Cool. I'm going to make a prediction now on what the red-green one's going to be called.
Okay.
Shuffling Gorge.
Shuffling Gorge?
Well, look at this. The Shambling Vent, Lumbering Falls, Shuffling Gorge. It becomes, like, I know this is a very strange idea that a gorge is going to fight anything because it is, in fact, a lack of land. But just stay with me on this one. Shuffling Gorge. Shuffling Gorge.
Yeah.
And the blue-white land is going to be called...
it might be Celestial Colonnade that could reprint
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to make up a really stupid name. Just Slow Cloud.
Slow Cloud.
I will activate Slow Cloud.
All right, here I am. Here I come. Ready to throw a punch, a puffy
let's
punch.
Let's go. Yeah, so these are pretty fun, and they give you some value. I mean, if you're already playing lands, you know, might as well, as they
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Nice. So, sweet. And, you know, who knows? There might be three more of those. Maybe they'll just stop at two. They'll just be like randos.
That would be weird.
That would be very weird, but you never know. You never know. Let's see. We also have a couple of ones for casting different types of spells. We have Sanctum of Eugene, which our friends.
Command Zone.
Our friends over at the Command Zone spoiled today.
Cool.
Very cool. Add one to your mana pool. Whenever you cast a colorless spell with converted mana cost 7 or greater, you may sacrifice Sanctum of Eugene. If you do, search your library for a colorless creature card, reveal it, put it into your hand, and shuffle your library.
Megan, which card do you want, of all the spoiled cards, which card do you want to open most in your Battle for Zendikar Magic Online Community Cup draft?
Oh, effers.
I know, this is I'm putting a Ooh. Hard one to you here.
Yeah.
That took you 3 seconds instead of two.
Oh, man.
I don't apologize.
Oh, man. Gosh, that's a really good question. I've had my eye on Smothering Abomination.
Ooh.
Two black for a 4/3 flyer, devoid. At the beginning of your upkeep, sack a creature. Whenever you sack a creature, draw a card.
Yeah.
That could just be, I feel like you that could sounds really,
great.
Man, you could really F some S up.
I just want to open Desolation Twins. I mean, Desolation Twin.
Yeah. I mean, that card is.
I'm calling it Desolation Twins. There's two of them.
Yeah.
It's also the nickname for my boobs.
I've seen them ruin some lives.
I wish you were kidding. Okay.
Anyways, other than that, I think, God, there's so many. If, you know, Lantern Scout, the 3/2 for 2 and a white ally with Rally, whenever it or another ally enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain lifelink until end of turn.
Hmm.
I mean, that card just seems pretty absurd.
Yeah, it does.
Pretty great. I mean, this set is looking so cool.
You know what kind of strikes me is that playing with allies is going to be a little bit about trickery and about doing some more math.
Yeah.
And playing with the Eldrazi is going to be about ramp, 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 slam.
Yeah.
Ramp and totally. Slam.
Ramp and slam.
The old ramp and slam. That's what the Duke brothers would do with their car.
Yeah.
Ramp. And slammed onto the ground.
Yeah.
That's probably where Wizards got the idea. Mailbag. All right, let's get some more listener questions here. All right, this is from Thomas. Thomas wants to know, if Enthralling Victor had a sibling, what would be their name? Possibly Disappointing Ernest? Whoa. They're trying to guess that Enthralling Victor's brother or sister is just not very enthralling.
Yeah. They're kind of on the edge of like, you know, they're like, meh.
I don't know. It could be, you know, Enchanting Victoria.
Yeah. Like, perhaps. What if they have a sibling that it's a sister and, you know, she's a real warrior too.
Yeah.
Maybe she's kick-ass Katarina.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. She's Russian.
Yes, she is.
Esper, Shard Mage on Twitter, wants to know, how often does Maria fart during a single episode?
I mean, only you can answer that question.
If Megan doesn't know, the answer is zero.
What's the real answer?
Are you paranoid now?
Yes.
Megan, I just farted.
Did you really?
But did I?
No, you didn't.
You'll never know.
Damn it.
All right, Ben wants to know, how do you evaluate new cards? Who are your go-to resources?
Definitely LSV's set reviews.
Yeah, for sure.
Just like, it's so great.
You can find those.
I'm a real visual person.
On channelfireball.com.
Yes.
He does those.
They are super helpful. He goes by each color, gives them a numerical rating, and then he rates the top 5 commons. It's really solid.
I agree. You can also listen to Limited Resources set review or listen to our set review, which consists of us telling you the worst cards of the set, the cutest card, and the grossest card.
Which are also very important.
You need to know that stuff.
Almost no one else has given you that info. So.
But if you just want a baseline evaluation for cards, you should Google the vanilla test in Magic, which is just evaluating a card without any of its fancy text, if it does any fancy cool activated abilities, just evaluating it on, is a 2/2 that costs 2 mana?
Yeah,
that's right. That's value. You're like, yeah, that's probably a fair price.
Yeah.
You know, a 10/10 for 10 mana. Yeah, I guess. Sure.
Sure.
You know, something like that. Tiago wants to know, do we have any recommended Magic drinking games?
Wow. You know,
We have never done that.
Managed to never come up with one.
How is that possible?
We've sometimes used Pro Tour Bingo.
Ah, Pro Tour Bingo. Yes. Yes.
Which you can go back and find on our website.
Yep. We do have a certain section for stuff that's not just the podcast, but we also have a blog section, and that's in the blog section.
Absolutely.
Pro Tour Bingo. Those will still be relevant. You can also check out the Booze Cube, which is cards that some of our friends print, and they're basically a drinking game. So you draft them, and then you play with them, and it has stuff like take 2 shots whenever you activate the ability on this card or whatever. We spoiled a card from the Booze Cube recently. They also have a Commander version. So there you go. That's a built-in Magic drinking game.
Absolutely.
You can also drink every time you do damage to somebody. I don't know. The night would not be very long.
No, not really.
All right, next question. What TV shows do you guys watch, if any? What music do you listen to? Oh, a personal question. That's lovely.
Interesting.
Well, okay, Christopher. This is from Christopher. I like to watch, man, I actually don't have TV in my house, despite being a TV producer.
We've been watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, we've been watching Buffy.
Making our way through that series.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like to watch documentaries, so I'll randomly pick up a documentary here or there. Yeah. I watch Project Runway. That's my guilty pleasure.
Oh, I love Project Runway. I love early seasons.
So good.
I just started watching the new Netflix series Narcos, which is very good so far.
I mean, Sherlock, always a win for me.
Yeah.
You know, I love PBS, obviously. Vicious, I love that show. Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Star Trek, we're big fans of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Music, my favorite band is Bare Naked Ladies. I'm not kidding. So shut up about it.
I personally recently have been on a big Delta Ray kick, like a little bit of bluegrass. And then today, I literally listened to Macklemore's new song Downtown like a dozen times.
Yeah, she did. Confirmed.
It's so great, you guys. It's like everything that I want. It's like a joke and a song with like three different musical styles happening.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's everything I want in a song.
Do the Eldrazi snore? And if so, do they shatter mountains?
Yes and yes.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. That's easy. Easy question. Straightforward. Try a harder one next time. Jeez, Charles. Okay. How are you preparing for the Community Cup? We kind of answered that one. I mean, we're trying. Trying our best, but
we're trying. We're just keeping on top of those spoilers, man. I also looked up some of the. They released like the changes to the Legacy Cube.
Yeah.
That they're making. So I looked over that today.
I suppose we could look up Legacy Cube strategies.
Be a hot mess.
Oh boy. Whew. Okay, what would be the better game plan for the pre-release, Eldrazi or Allies, asks Ray.
I mean, my guess is so far it looks like probably, like, you're going to need some big, powerful, high-end spells.
Or ways to deal with them.
Yes, or ways to deal with them.
But really, it's more dependent on what pool you open.
Yeah, absolutely. Sealed tends to usually be a little bit slower, a little bit more powerful. So, that's just my guess.
Yeah, somebody's going to have an Ulamog, you know, and you're like going to have to know how to deal with that when that happens to you.
You really are. You really are.
All right. In your opinion, they meant to write opinion, but they wrote onion. In your onion, is the new Kiora or the new Obnixilis more flavorful? Well, she does come with octopi. That's pretty flavorful.
Yeah, I feel like the answer is Kiora is more flavorful.
I mean, because I don't have any information on how his spark reignited from his card.
Yeah, we still want to see. We want to hear that story, yo.
All right, Cody asks a great question. Why is blue objectively the worst color ever?
I think that we can all agree that it's the best color ever, Cody.
Well, Cody, I think blue is the worst color because people who play it are pretentious.
I think that blue is the worst color because it's not.
Great answer. Henry wants to know, can we spin each Magic the Gathering color to sound like a color nobody wants to play? Yes. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
So like I said, blue is played by pretentious assholes. Green is played if you're really dumb and you just want to cast big creatures.
Yeah.
Red is played if you don't know how to play the game and you just want to turn creatures sideways. White is if you're boring. And black is if you at home you're a sadist. I don't know.
But only at home.
But only, yeah.
I'm an at-home
sadist. Not in the streets. A sadist, wait, what is it? Saint in the streets, sadist in the sheets. What?
That's a saint.
No, this is what you'd say in Magic. I play blue in the streets and I'm red in the sheets. Okay, that sounded horrible!
That was one of the worst sayings you've ever come up with. Oh
my god. I apologize to everybody everywhere. I'm never going to try and make another saying because it just obviously does not work.
Don't do it, man.
Oh, okay. Last question. Why can't Yu-Gi-Oh players and Magic players just get along? Can't we? I didn't know we couldn't. I mean, on April Fool's Day this last year, we got along.
That's right, because they swapped the Reddits.
The subreddits were switched.
Yeah.
So we got along for that one day, and it was a beautiful day. I actually don't know any Yu-Gi-Oh players. I mean, I probably do, but none that have announced themselves to me.
I know. They haven't come out of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Closet yeah. yet.
They're still in there. It's okay, you guys.
We know Yu-Gi-Oh! Players. They're not comfortable with who they are yet.
Come on out. We won't bite. We just play Magic. Mm-hmm. It's not that bad. Oh, yeah. So thanks for the awesome mailbag, you guys. If you want to get on the next wave of these, we'll probably announce it on Twitter sometime. But you got to be following us in order to hear it at MTAcast, or go to our Facebook page and like us. It's facebook.com/MTAcast. Either way, you'll get the skinny, the 411, the down low, the lowdown on what we're doing. Flavortext Theater presents Movie Pitches.
This is where we take cards from, this time around, Magic Origins, and we pitch you, what would this movie or television show be?
If you can hear a cat in the background, that's one of our first fans from Magic the Catening.
Absolutely. This cat is learning to play magic as we speak.
Perfect. All right, perfect. So we've just cracked a pack of Origins, and we're going to randomly select a card out of there and just make up a film based on it. And I'm going to pitch you the first one. Okay, so Megan, listen to this. Tell me what you think. So Alice in Wonderland, it's been a long time since Alice in Wonderland's been around. There hasn't been a remake, to my knowledge, within the last 5 years. I don't know. There was that Johnny Depp just disaster a few years ago. Anyway, so we're going to make a good remake, but we're not going to focus on Alice this time because she is played out. Everybody knows Alice's story. We don't care anymore.
Yeah.
This story is going to focus on the caterpillar down, you know, the one who smokes the pipe.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really trippy hippie movie about that caterpillar.
Trippy hippie.
Only he gets on a really bad trip one day and he just murders a lot of people. It was a bad trip.
Wow.
It was a bad trip.
I did not see this taking this turn.
I mean, it's a drama. It starts out and you're like, this is a comedy. You know those movies? And then it gets into it and it's just like, whoa, this got dark. This is like Trainspotting. So the name of this movie, Caustic Caterpillar.
Oh my God. Okay, so I was thinking, you know, there haven't been enough like warrior women films in the vein of like Xena.
Amen.
Especially recently. So this is going to be set on the kind of like in the same like old school like King Arthur
nebulous time frame
like out in the country.
Did they wear a corset?
Rolling hills and mist and stuff like that, and it's a girl who's just like working. She's like works on a farm, and she's supposed to get married to a guy that she like really doesn't want to
loving
marry
it already,
and like her wedding day comes and she's just like so overcome with emotion that she can't control it, and she runs away from home, and she goes and she lives in the wild, where she, you know, she like becomes, she protects all of the forest creatures and really returns to nature. And the film is called Wild Instincts.
I'd watch that. I'd really watch that. This film is a new film by Pixar. What's going to happen is
I love their recent work.
Yeah, this is two dragons. They've been in a committed relationship for a long time. The lady dragon has been on the IUD, and they also use prophylactics. However, this is obviously like, you know, one of those like bro comedies. Like, you know, she gets pregnant. This dragon gets pregnant. And the guy's like, oh, my God, we've been in a relationship, but am I ready for marriage? Am I ready for this baby?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of hijinks ensue. Like, do I need flame retardant diapers? I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's just basically this guy, you know, this dragon getting ready for fatherhood. It's played by Adam Sandler. The name of the movie is Dragon Fodder. The puns hurt. They hurt.
They hurt. So mine is about like a defunct poker player. He used to be a pro poker player, but he
Marshall Sutcliffe.
he fell off the circuit. He just like went into a real big slump because he got in a fight with his best friend, and they stopped. Like, they were both poker players together. They had like a whole crew of poker players that they would all hang out with. He kind of like fell out with his best friend and like fell into like a slump. You know, the whole just like his girlfriend dumps him.
Yeah.
He moves back in with his parents, and then like one day, like his friend is like, I forgive you, like I'm sorry, like whatever their dispute was, maybe it was over the girlfriend or something, they, you know, like they make it up and they're mm-hmm. like, do you know what, there's this huge poker tournament and we need to take it down, and in order to do that we need to get all of our poker dudes
out of together. retirement,
and it's called Gather the Pack. where pack has the dual meaning of like a deck of cards, like a pack of cards,
yeah,
and then also their pack of friends.
That's great. That's actually would be a normal movie. That would be a movie.
Just a normal film.
This movie is kind of like a mystical sort of sci-fi sort of thriller in which a lady goes to a thrift store and buys like a purse, and it turns out that purse, whoever has that purse, is cursed with their most desperate wish. Oh. It comes true. Wow. But of course it comes true in a weird monkey paws kind of way.
Yeah.
And so
first I thought you were trying to say menopause, but you couldn't.
I'm going through monkey paws.
Oh my god.
I have the hot you flash. Like, you know, all women, once
they're
paws. Like,
they're in their 50s, they're all hitting monkey paws.
Help, my monkey paws is real bad today. My monkey paws.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, no, it's like a monkey paw in that the wish is granted in a horrible way, and she keeps trying to pawn this purse off on people because she realizes the purse is fault that's doing its evil. It's cursed.
Yeah.
The name of this movie is called Disperse. Disperse.
Okay, mine is a classic, like, submarine remake of Jaws.
Whoa.
Where there's a bunch of, there's a network of submarines and they're being terrorized by some giant monster in the ocean. That's just tearing these submarines apart. That's it. That's the only plot.
Well, it sounds great.
Deep Sea Terror.
I mean, yeah. I'm not inspired by that one. I don't care. Oh, I found your rare.
Oh, tell me about it.
Gotta make a movie around it. I can't make a movie around this rare.
Aww.
I can. It's a Lifetime movie. Okay. It's a couple, and they have a kid. Their kid is some kind of weird genius. But a very dangerous, weird genius. And then they die. It's called Pia and Kieran Millar.
I think I know what's going on here. Nice. Oh, wait, I have one more.
Okay, cool.
This is like a remaking of like the Midas Touch.
Ooh. I feel like we've like, definitely done Midas Touch movies before in Flavor Text
Theater. Like, have we?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like, oh, I do. I think you're right. I think we have. But this one's different. It's kind of like Disperse, where it's like a guy goes into a tailor when he's having a really rough day, and he's just like getting his pants. Because
you know, when you really need it, when you have a rough day, you just go into.
You just need to go to the tailor.
Just need these things
get
hemmed.
Your pants altered. To get your pants hemmed, and while he's in there, he sees like this beautiful pair of gloves.
Ooh.
And he's like, oh, like, right, no one wears this. Is also in Victorian England.
Oh, okay.
Hence why he goes to a tailor, and he's like, those are beautiful gloves, I need them, like, I need to have them. And so he buys the gloves. Wait, no, he doesn't buy them. He steals them. He steals them because he doesn't really have a lot of money. He only has enough money to like get his pants hemmed. He's trying to get a job.
I mean, because when you have no money.
Exactly. And then, but everything that he tries to hold with these gloves.
Turns to gold?
I don't even know anymore.
What's this card?
Grasp of the Hieromancer.
What's a Hieromancer?
I have no idea.
What we need to know.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's like. Hixus was a Hieromancer, so they used law magic. But I was gonna be like, everything he touches with the gloves, he can't let go of.
Whoa, that sounds like a video game I played.
That's a really short movie
where you just take a ball and you roll everything into a ball.
Oh, you're thinking of Katamari Damacy.
Yeah,
that game is the best game. I love that video game.
Stressed me out.
I love Katamari.
I'm like, I need to make the biggest ball.
It has an amazing soundtrack.
I need to make the biggest ball. Yeah. Biggest ball.
That's the point, man.
It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if any of you TV producers, movie producers out there are interested in any of the movies we've said, they are copyright Maria and Megan 2015. So get in touch with us, magicallyamateuring@gmail.com. Let us know for how many millions you'd like to purchase these scripts or these specs, because they're pretty great. Personally, I'm looking forward to see Disperse in theaters.
In theaters. Sometime soon.
Well, everybody, that's Magically Amateuring for this week. Remember to tune in and watch us in the Community Cup with some of our BFFs in the magic community battling against the evil force that is Wizards of the Coast.
Absolutely. We are super excited, and we're doing it for you. We love you guys.
Yeah, we do love you guys, and we hope to win for you because we want to give you super sweet prizes on Magic Online.
We totally do. Ooh,
so tune into twitch.tv on the 19th and the 20th. Those will be the days we'll be playing, and you probably want to check out, you know, Zendikar before you go in for your pre-release.
Yeah.
So you'll see how it plays out. Like, you've been wondering about Draft and Sealed. Well, watch us. You'll and know.
You'll know a little bit more, man.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
I'm so excited, Megan.
Me too.
Be sure to listen to us next week because that will be our Community Cup episode.
Absolutely.
And it's we have some epic stuff planned, you guys.
It's going to be amazing. Epic
stuff planned for you next week. So don't miss it. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also check us out on Stitcher, magicallyamateuring.com, themeatery.org, as well as mtgcast.com. Those are all the places you can find our lovely little podcast. If this podcast has given you any laughs, if you are now going to call your mom's menopause monkey paws, consider throwing a dollar our way, patreon.com/mtacast. When we hit $300, we will do a Magic the Pro the Ring podcast one time a month. And we've got a pretty sweet pro guest signed up for the first episode. So let's get the three hondos up there, you guys.
Yeah, bros.
Thank you to everybody who's donated so far. You are all amazing.
I apologize for how many times I have said bros this episode.
You've said it a lot of
times. Like a lot. I don't know why. It's just like in a mood.
You're just having a bro mood.
Yeah.
You're kind of lounging on that couch like a bro right now.
I really am. We talked about keggers.
Yeah, we did.
Might as well call us Magic the Broing.
And you said you're excited for Matern to Mendikar. Maddle for Mendikar.
Maddle for Mendikar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys, I really need to take a picture of this. I'm going to tweet it. No, Megan! Go back. Okay, this is going to be weird because you're going to be seeing this picture in the past,
yeah.
But it won't be until the future until you understand it. I got it.
Do I have like multiple chins?
No.
Okay, good.
The microphone's in the way.
Good.
It's a great picture. Very loungy. You couldn't have multiple chins if you tried. She's trying.
Thanks so much for tuning in, you guys. If you want to find us on Magic Online, I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm Horny_Unicorny.
And until next week, peace out and Pepsi cans. What?